Scotty Bowman joining us now. As I said, one of our favorite guests on the program. Scotty, thanks a lot for doing this.
Oh, good to be on, Joey.
So, Scotty, this movie, Red Army, you haven't had the chance to see it yet, am I correct?
Oh, that's right. I'm going to the preview in Toronto, yeah.
Okay, and how excited are you to see the story of Slava Fetisov and Russian hockey? And what's your relationship with Fetisov?
Well, it's very strong. They changed the dynamics of our team. You know, the fact that we had three already. We had three before we made any moves. We had Sergei Fedorov, we had Vladimir Konstantinov, and Slava Kozlov. And then adding both Igor, we added Igor Larionov, but then we needed a fifth. And Slava wasn't playing regular with New Jersey. I talked to Lou Lamoriello, and they agreed to let us trade for him. And boy, he came in, and he and Igor Larionov, as we know, played on the same five defensemen for the Red Army. Arguably probably the best five-man combo ever played. So he came in about 38 years old, and he made quite an impact by just getting the Russian style into the NHL. It was different to see all five of them.
And you put the Russian five together. I mean, it was like a symphony on the ice. I loved watching them play because it was like they were like almost like that. They were like, you know, quintuplets because they kind of all knew each other. And I think if I'm not mistaken, Sergei was the youngest guy. I know Slava was Kozlov. Kozzy was pretty young too. Those were the two younger guys.
Sergei was born in 69, Kozlov 72. But you know, we put them together for the first time at a game in Calgary. And I put him on the ice somewhere in the first period, not knowing what to expect because we never practiced much with them. And all of a sudden, I said, wow. And I was careful. They were so effective. I didn't want to use them every period of every game because I was getting ready for the playoffs and I didn't want some other team because I couldn't figure them out, but I thought somebody might. So we used them at opportune times. We used them on the power play, things like that, and they made quite an impact on our team because our players were... I never knew the plays that they were doing. All of a sudden, they'd be passing it around like the Harlem Globetrotters, and then Vladimir Konstantinov was a right defenseman, and Slava was on the left side, and all of a sudden, he took off, and he had a breakaway coming down the middle of the ice. And Larionov moved to the wing because of his experience, and we left Sergei Fedorov, who was one of the top two-way centers in the NHL. He stayed at center.
And so this unit, when you put it together, why did you put it together?
Well, we had three, as I mentioned. We got the fourth with Igor Larionov in a trade with San Jose. And then when we got Slava Fetisov, it made sense to try the five of them, and I had a good rapport with Slava and Igor, and they were encouraging the fact that they knew that it would have a good impact, and I really enjoyed both Larionov and Fetisov. They were wonderful players for us. It didn't last forever, but they had quite an impact.
And so, correct me if I'm mistaken, but did Larionov suggest this to you, that the teams in Russia used to do this?
No, I think it was both he and Fetisov because they were on the same five-man unit. You know, as we know, Kasatonov was Fetisov's partner, and then Krutov and Makarov were up front with Larionov. So we had two-fifths of it in place, just adding the other three. They were young players at the time, and they adhered because, you know, Konstantinov was only about maybe 29 at the time, and obviously Fedorov was younger, and so was Kozlov, and I think Slava was 38, and Igor was just a couple of years younger, maybe two or three years younger.
Okay, and if you're just joining us, it's Scotty Bowman. The movie's The Red Army, premiering at the Toronto International Film Festival from Sony Pictures Classics. Okay, so you put these guys together, and tell us, when you had Sergei Fedorov in his prime, how good a hockey player was Sergei Fedorov in his prime?
Well, when I first got to Detroit, he was an outstanding defensive player, which was quite unusual with the Russians, because the Russians' defense was usually puck possession. They didn't want to give up the puck, and that was their strong suit. But Sergei was a powerful skater. He developed his offensive skills playing in the NHL. And as we know, he came out of Russia on a line with Pavel Bure and Alex McGillney, who became stars in their own right with other teams.
But Scotty, I have to interrupt. Is that the greatest line of all time in junior hockey, do you think?
Which one? The
McGillney, Bure, Fedorov line.
Well, they only played in Russia together. They left. They defected, as we know. Well, I don't think Bure did, but McGillney and Fedorov defected in the late 80s. But they did play, yeah, I see what you mean, playing in the World Junior Championship. And I think it was in, I'm not sure if it was Seattle or Spokane. It was somewhere in Western USA. And, yeah, they were outstanding. I mean, they were way ahead of their time. And they moved right up to the Red Army, the big team, right after, you know.
And so Leaf fans will remember this, but look, we know what happened with, you know, the terrible car accident after you guys won the cup, and you know, the loss of the Russian five player, but, you know, more importantly, what happened to obviously a close friend of of everyone on that team. You know, like Konstantinov was just a guy that's so popular, and I know the Red Wings continue to you know, to take care of him to this day. It's not, you know, that's the Red Wing organization. That's the Ilitch family, right? But then you guys,
unfortunately, Vladimir was just into his prime. I really think when you think about the loss of a player of that ability, but as a person, he was a wonderful man. You know, he played a little bit with Nick Lidstrom. I mean, we know how great Nick Lidstrom was as a 20-year defenseman in the NHL. Konstantinov was a different style of defenseman. It was always a game inside a game. He was physical. He had offensive skills because he had started his career as a forward over in Russia. And he was just one of those throwback old-time players that was right in his prime. And they did everything right. We won the cup, and we were there. They had a outing at a golf club. And they hired a limousine service to pick them up. And oddly enough, Larionov, not being a golfer, he scratched at the last minute. But in the limousine was Sergei Manantsev-Kanov, our masseur, Slava Fetisov, and Vladimir Konstantinov. And I'm not sure how the seating arrangements were made, but as you know, Slava came out of it probably as very fortunate. You know, the other two ended up to be really handicapped, and it was such a tragic event, doing all the right things, and all of a sudden they found out the limousine driver had a trace of some drugs and alcohol. It was just a nightmare, the whole situation, and it happened 5 days after the cup win.
Yeah.
So tragic.
Yeah, casting a pall over the wind. Scotty Bowman, our guest. The movie's called Red Army, a film by Gabe Polsky, executive produced by Jerry Weintraub and Werner Herzog, and it'll premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival September the 9th at the Ryerson Theater, 6 o'clock screening, and then September 10th at 11:45 a.m. at the Bloor Cinemas. Scotty, before we let you go, take us back to that time during the Cold War when Russia was this nation that was feared by the West and was so far advanced in training methods, not only in hockey, but overall athletics. We remember those Olympic games where the Russian bear, the feared Russian bear. What's your recollection, you know, of the 72 Summit Series and that era and how Russia was viewed by the West?
Well, I think the conditioning aspect of those teams, I mean, it probably similar to what our teams are now. We know the fitness level of NHL teams now is right at the off the charts, and they were off the charts because they trained. The reason that they were so successful is they trained for 11 months. It was such a big perk to get on that. If you became a national player on any of their sports, you had a lot of perks that the normal citizen wasn't allowed. I'll just give you one, for instance. If you were a young Russian that got married in that era, and not playing sports, you would probably have to share accommodation and housing with your parents. There just was not enough for to go around. If you were an athlete on a national team, you would have the privilege of getting your own place. And these are many other things. And I think the NHL, when we started to play them in the 70s, we were handicapped because we didn't have all-star teams. We had to put teams together with a group of players from different teams. And it took about a decade in the Canada Cup. We squeaked by the Canada Cup in 76 because we had an all-star. I mean, we had one of the most fantastic teams that you could ever field. I mean, we had a defense corps of Serge Savard, Larry Robinson, Guy Lapointe, Dennis Potvin, and Bobby Orr. I mean, you're never going to have a defense corps like that. But the Russians were so far ahead in training methods, we caught up. We caught up, and that's why now any competition, it's not as one-sided, I mean, as it was in those years. Starting in the 80s, we started to catch up, but we didn't have the privilege of these teams were together for 11 months a year, and you never had a time off, you know?